Right. Our journey of Lent has begun. Isn't it exciting? People look at me like I'm crazy when I say, isn't Lent exciting? But what an opportunity to focus our attention on what is important. What a powerful gospel to look at the temptations of Jesus. The plot that St. Luke lays out, it almost asks the question, what kind of Messiah is Jesus going to be? Satan is tempting him to depart from the path of suffering and instead pursue the path of earthly power and sensationalism. But we know that Jesus sticks to the mission and brings salvation as the suffering servant. This is one of those gospel passages that if you have a Catholic study Bible or a Catholic commentary, this is a good time to use it, to look at the significance of each of the three temptations. The passage that we just heard is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Matthew's gospel also covers the temptations in chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, so very similar. Luke flip-flops the chronology of the last two temptations. And there's a reason for that in regard to it ending up in Jerusalem. You know, so there are certain aspects of this that really require additional study. But one of the things that I want to look at is the significance of the number 40. So almost every commentary I looked at addressed that in this particular gospel passage. Why is 40 significant? In sacred scripture, the number 40 typically represents trial, testing, temptation, waiting. And so here, with Jesus going into the desert for 40 days, we see that. 40 days from Easter to Ascension Thursday. Now, I know here in this diocese, we celebrate it on Sunday now, but we're sticking with the 40 days from the Easter until Ascension Thursday. Sometimes people ask me, well, how do you count 40 days in Lent? 6 weeks times 7, 42 days, plus the 4 days from Ash Wednesday through today, 46. You know how I counted that when I was younger? 6 free Sundays during Lent. Now, as I studied more and looked at it more from a liturgical perspective, the first Sunday of Advent starts the season of Advent. And so I've read where the first Sunday of Lent starts the season of Lent. The first 4 days from Ash Wednesday through today, that's pre-Lent. Now, I found that a little bit difficult because Ash Wednesday is a day of fasting and abstinence. But if you look at that as pre-Lent, and Lent starts on the first Sunday of Lent, we go all the way through the day on Holy Thursday. That's 40 days. When we get to Thursday evening and we have the Mass of the Lord's Supper, Lent is over. We have now entered the Paschal Triduum. So Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, eventually leading us to the Great Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday. Why do I share all that with you? Because I want you to understand the significance of this 40-day journey that we are on. And to do that, I want to look back at some of the references in the Old Testament. So going all the way back to Genesis at the time of the flood, Genesis chapter 7, verse 12. For 40 days and 40 nights, heavy rain poured down on the earth. So already the first book of the Bible, we see the significance of 40. Then in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 28, it was the fasting of Moses on Mount Sinai. Very significant for us even today. It says, so Moses stayed there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating any food or drinking any water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. We still utilize those Ten Commandments today. Those 40 days were important. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, Israel's journey in the desert. Remember how for 40 years now, the Lord your God has directed all your journeying in the desert so as to test you by affliction and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments. It's a time of testing. The book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 34, talking about the 12 spies who went to inspect the land of Canaan. It says, for 40 days you spent in scouting the land. 40 years shall you suffer for your crimes, 1 year for each day. Israel's oppression by the Philistines in the book of Judges, chapter 13, verse 1. The Israelites again offended the Lord, who therefore delivered them into the power of the Philistines for 40 years. Elijah's fasting in the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verse 8. If you remember this, Elijah was pretty distraught, even to the point of saying, Lord, just take my life. If you've seen some of the memes on social media, it references this particular passage, and it says, never underestimate the power of a nap and a snack. But anyway, it says he got up, ate, and drank. Then, strengthened by that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb. And finally, the last one I want to share with you was Nineveh's opportunity to repent at the preaching of Jonah. And this comes from Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. It says, Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. They repented. There was penance, and God relented of the chastisement that he had threatened through Jonah. Why do I share those? Because I want you to not let these 40 days go by without growing in God's wisdom, grace, and holiness. If you look at the temptations of Jesus and then look at your own life, what are the temptations that you and I are facing? We have temptations from the world, temptations from our flesh, temptations from Satan. Did we capture the first few words of the gospel when it says, filled with the Holy Spirit? You and I, if we have been baptized and confirmed, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Do we live like it? When you are tempted to sin, do you immediately turn to God in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit for that power and that guidance in all truth? Because that's what these 40 days are about. It's about growing in holiness. If you look at the three pillars of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, they're about drawing us closer to the Lord. Prayer. You have heard me say this before. Pray frequently, fervently, and faithfully. Frequently. How frequently should we pray? Sacred Scripture says, pray without ceasing. That's pretty frequent. Father Mike Schmitz, in one of his podcasts, says, we can't pray at all times unless we pray at certain times. Do you pray in the morning? Do you pray in the evening? Do you pray before you go to bed? Because unless we are praying at certain times and truly devoting our hearts and minds to the Lord, it is highly unlikely that we will be praying at all times. Frequently, fervently, Is prayer just something we hurry through to check it off our to-do list? This one's a challenge for me. I know that I have done that. But as I've grown older and slowed down a little bit, one of the scripture passages that I use to meditate on now, these people honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me. I ask myself, if Jesus were sitting right in front of me, could he level that accusation against me? Prayer is not something we rush through to get it off our to-do list. It is an encounter with the living God. Frequently, fervently, and finally faithfully, we pray in season and out of season. We don't just pray when we feel like it. If we only pray when we feel like it, it won't be long and we won't be praying at all, because there are enough things to draw us away from prayer if we allow it. The Catechism states that prayer is a gift of grace and a determined response on our part. It's a gift of grace. God places it within our hearts, that desire to pray. But then we have free will. And that determined response on our part, do we respond positively and pray, or do we ignore the prompting of grace that we have received? And there are consequences for ignoring prayer in our life. St. Alphonsus Liguori sums it up about as succinctly as I have ever seen in his writings, Preparation for Death. He simply says, those who pray will be saved. Those who pray not will be condemned. That's pretty straightforward. So that's prayer. Frequently, fervently, and faithfully. Fasting. Sure, it is about giving up food and drink, but it's much more than that. It's about growing in discipline. One of the theologians that I follow on social media on Ash Wednesday, he put, fasting without prayer is simply dieting. Prayer and fasting go together. And it's about discipline, rooting sin out of our life, growing in virtue. Will you be any closer to the Lord at the end of these 40 days than you are today? That's the test. And finally, almsgiving. Sure, it's about giving money to the poor, but it's also much more than that. If you put this into the context, prayer and fasting, it's about loving God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Almsgiving is the second great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But almsgiving, are we truly building our brothers and sisters up? Are we living out the spiritual and corporal works of mercy? We can't just go through the motions. It is important that we allow these 40 days to touch our hearts and our minds, and that we respond with humility, with obedience, with penance, with repentance, with growing in love for our Lord. I don't know about you, but this is my 65th Lenten journey. I know there are many more Lenten journeys in my rearview mirror at this point on earth than what I have in the windshield. I can look back and see that some of my Lenten journeys were not all that productive. I can't change that. But I can live the current one to the best of my ability so that it bears fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. And that's my prayer for you as well. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, the communion, the fellowship, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you throughout these 40 days in a very profound way.